Thank you for tuning into our weekly message at Kennedy Road Tabernacle. My name is Dave DeSabatino, and I'm an associate pastor. Join us now for our message in progress.
It's just great to be with the church family today. And you guys have walked with Michelle and I and Emma in the last 7 months as Emma's been battling leukemia, and she responded really well and was in remission. We went back to the doctor this week, and they did a blood test and a heart exam. And because she had a fever, they wanted to do a bone marrow aspiration. And when they did, they discovered that the leukemia is back in her blood. So we are, to say we were shocked is an understatement. And so we're feeling the pressure of all that right now. In the midst of it all, obviously disappointment and we're all crying a little bit, and Emma's crying, doesn't want to go through what she went through before. And Michelle and I were talking when we were just the two of us that through it all and with this harsh news and the reality of what we're dealing with, that we just had this peace in our hearts. And Michelle said, we should have known, because the peace that we've been experiencing is not something that we could stir up in ourselves. This is a supernatural peace that God has brought us, and we just thank God for that peace. And I stand on the scripture that the Lord dropped in my heart from the book of Romans, that God said this will be about me revealing my power and making my name famous in all the earth. And we are believing that God is going to display his power, his healing power in Emma's body. And I know that as Michelle, she posts stuff better than me on Facebook and Twitter than I do. But around the world now, people are praying and standing and believing for Emma's healing, and we are doing the same. So I gotta admit that when stuff happens, and I know that we're not the only family in the world that's going through difficulties, and I know that there's many people in our church right now, and you've got some major struggles, and the need that you have in your family doesn't get the broadcast that Emma gets, because you say, well, I don't have a microphone, and Pastor Jamie has them. I know there's serious needs in this church. And when those things happen in our lives, when the disappointments come, it can immediately fill our minds with questions. And those questions can can cause you, if we question too long and worry too much, then the fear starts rising, anxiety in our hearts, and worry takes over. And I've discovered through the years that worry does not solve anything. It'll steal your peace. It'll steal your sleep. It'll steal your health. It'll cost you friendships. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. So today we're going to take some time to look at God's will and God's won't. How do we know God's will? How do we know how to pray? How do we know what God wants for our lives? We're going to eventually turn to the book of Proverbs. Just to give you an update, Emma was in, she went in Wednesday, bone marrow Thursday, everything's going fine. They were going to do get ready with some stuff on Friday and start chemo Saturday, but Thursday night she was rushed to ICU because her blood pressure was bad and her heart wasn't functioning the way it should be, and her lungs were filling up with infection. And so they've been working at trying to help her, and I'm pleased to report that, I mean, as tough as she was, situation she was in Friday, there was a steady improvement Saturday, and she slept well last night, and her blood pressure is starting to balance out, and her breathing is starting to improve gradually. And so we're believing that she's on the road to recovery, and we're believing for miracles in her life. So the one thing that God gave us a couple months ago is when we got our family tested for bone marrow matches, which will be a bone marrow transplant, is what they plan to do in the next month or two. Most patients there do not have someone in their immediate family who's a match for bone marrow, and they have to look for a bone marrow match somewhere in the bank and the system that they've got organized. And I just know that God blessed us and that two in our family are perfect matches for bone marrow transplant. Most patients don't, it's rare to find one perfect match, and Alana and Erica are perfect matches. Alana, our 12-year-old, Erica, our 22-year-old. In fact, Alana, the 12-year-old, says it's probably going to be me because Erica's a suck. And so we can choose to smile even in the midst of tough situations, and because the joy of the Lord is our strength, I know. And so we're just believing that we've got these two matches, and we just trust the Lord for what he's going to do. In fact, Jesus, I mean, if nothing else, these situations will teach you how to pray. And Jesus gave us some examples in Matthew chapter 6. He was trying to teach his disciples. He's trying to help them grow in their confidence in God and their trust in faith in him. And he said, here's how you need to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, and that sounds so King James, but to translate those words, it's far more intimate than that. And some pastors will try to say it means Papa, Daddy, and it is that Abba is that it's the word in Hebrew that little is a Jewish children would use for their dad, a loving term. And so when we come to God, even though that prayer, we learned it in King James English, it's not some distant, far off king that we're praying to, but it's our Father in heaven. Hallowed or holy is your name. Then he said, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that prayer is inviting the kingdom of God into our lives. And now it's not some form of escapism that your kingdom come. God, you just bring your kingdom in here and get me out of this job or get me out of this problem or this accident or this hospital or get me out of this city or get me out of this situation. And it's not escapism. But it's inviting the kingdom of God. Jesus is reflecting on the words of Isaiah, where Isaiah was speaking to Israel in captivity and saying the kingdom of God is coming in with righteousness, with healing, with deliverance, with freedom, with hope. And Jesus, when he's saying that, he's pulling from Isaiah's thoughts that the people were familiar with. And he said, your kingdom come. So, and Paul went on to write in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, your kingdom come, he allowed the people his listeners to process it based on what they understood. And he didn't take time to define the kingdom because I believe that he was living the kingdom. The kingdom was, he brought the kingdom of God to the disciples and to the world. With those words, the kingdom come. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and here's what I'm anointed to do. I'm anointed to preach good news to the poor. I'm anointed to bring recovery of sight to the blind. The anointing of the Spirit is on me to see prisoners set free, to bind up and mend the brokenhearted, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. And some of you know that verse in Luke. Once again, Jesus is pulling from Isaiah chapter 61. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying, God, everything, Jesus, everything you brought can be ours. Everything that you brought to the world is available for us now. And I know Isaiah talked about that by the punishment Jesus endured on the cross, by the stripes he bore, the beating he took, healing is ours. So I stand here this morning in confidence, knowing that your kingdom come illustrates that healing and forgiveness and joy and peace, all of those things that Jesus talked about are here. Bible says if two or three gather together in Jesus' name, he is. Jesus is here, and when Jesus is here, anything can happen. Think about it. When Jesus is here, anything can happen. What need is in your life today? What concern are you carrying in your heart today? What brokenness have you been trying to live with, and you put a smile on your face and you try to walk through the situation? What is it that you're carrying inside? You can put a smile on your face, and Pastor Dave, the journal Dave, had to shake hands and love on each other and care for each other. But we can put the smile on, we can say hi, but behind the smile and behind the handshake, what is that brokenness that's there? What is that pain that's there? What is that worry or concern that you can't escape? When we say your kingdom come, where Jesus is, things happen. Jesus is here. He said also, your will be done. And this is where the tough part of it comes in. Somebody told me once that I'm a little type A, and I like to get things done. I like it done quickly. I like it done my way. I like it done how I want. Do you know any type A's? Anybody know any type A's? I'm not talking about battery type. I'm talking about if the person beside you is type A, give them a nudge with your arm there. That's right. There's a lot of aching ribs right now. But see, the challenge with us type A's is we like, when we see something that has to get done, we're going to do it. I mean, Michelle gets a little frustrated with me if the fridge breaks or the oven breaks or something breaks around the house, because she'll want me to call a repair person. And I thought, why would I call a repair person when I've got Google? I can Google how to fix this thing. And I had my little iPad there. I tore apart a washing machine. I'd never done it before. And I'm no Maytag repairman, but I tore apart that washing machine. And I had my iPad up there, and I had it on YouTube, and I played it, and I hit pause, and I fixed that thing. Because if something's broken... Thank you. Now, just if your washing machine is broken, get your own iPad and give it to your husband and get him to do it, because I'm not going to start fixing machines. But see, when a lot of us, if something's broken, if something needs fix it, we'll just grab it and fix it because that's what we do. True. Okay. But the pain that we're carrying in our heart, for most of us, you can be type AA and AAA. When those doctors told me that Emma's cancer is back, even though I'm type A and I'm used to grabbing hold of things and fixing it, couldn't do it. I can't do it. So when Jesus said, your kingdom come, he said, your will be done, he's saying, I'm giving you something to hope in, but you also have to learn to trust me. You have to learn patience. You have to learn to rely on me. Friends, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. At the end of the service today, we're going to open it up. And if you came with pain in your life, you came with the need for healing in your heart, we're going to open these altars up. We're going to anoint with oil like the scripture says, and we're going to pray for healing today. I believe there's an anointing for healing that is going to fill this house as we pray for healing today. And it's where we come to the altar saying, God, your kingdom come, and we trust you, your will be done. So we learn to hope in the Lord, and we learn to trust in the Lord and be patient with him. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. I'm going to look at it quickly here. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. This morning, even though it's not grammatically correct, our title today is God's Will, God's Won't. Now, I know God's Won't isn't grammatically correct, but just it fit and worked. And so all you English teachers, Michael, grab him, give me a break, okay? We want to look at 10 principles today about God's will. And I want you to understand, we're going to go quickly through these, But God will never contradict his word. If you're writing something down, you need to write it down. God will never contradict his word. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Going down to verse 105, by your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's falling apart on me. God put me together again with your word. God will never contradict his word. The word of God is the expression of his character and who he is, and he won't contradict it. Let me put it to you this way. If it's against God's word, it's against God's will. If something is against God's word, it is opposed and against God's will. And you know, we'll never know what the will of God is if we're never reading his word. That's why Pastor Dave has got us into a life journal and reading through the word of God. The Bible never changes. We have to decide that we're going to follow it. Joshua said, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. Now, I've heard this, not in this church, but in other churches. I know it would never be this church that I heard it, but you know, somebody say, well, Pastor Jamie, I met this person, and I believe it's God's will for us to be together. And I said, well, hold on a sec. You're married. And you're telling me about somebody. Well, Pastor Jamie, how could something that feels so right be so wrong? Okay, it's not about feelings. It's about the facts. And the facts are that God's word is what's important. He'll never contradict it. If it goes against God's word, it's going against God's will. In spite of how you may feel, in spite of how something makes you feel happy or warm inside or whatever, if it's against God's word, it's against God's will. If you want to know God's will, get into his word. Secondly, God will not make bad things happen to good people. God doesn't make bad things happen to good people. God's plan for our lives, God's plan for Emma's life is to prosper her and not to harm her, to give her hope and a future. And the same is true for you from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It's interesting. This ties into the first point because verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and you will seek me. And when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. So it requires some discipline on our part to pursue after God and to dig into his word to discover the plans that he has. Thirdly, God will not hide his will from you. God won't hide his will from you. We went to Florida in March for March break, and we had a wonderful time. We were going down there for rest and peace. We've had so much going on that we just needed to do nothing and have silence. And so we stayed at a condo that some friends let us use, and they had a beautiful heated swimming pool. And the first day, we're relaxing and floating. I was in the pool for hours, and I float really well. And I was in the pool just floating and relaxing. It was heated, and it was wonderful, so peaceful. We were commenting how relaxing it was. Well, the next day, another family arrived to another condo, and they had four kids, and we were in the pool, and all of a sudden, these kids splash in the pool. And about 2 minutes later, it started. I don't know who invented this game. All of a sudden, I heard, Marco. Why are you saying sorry? You interrupt me every week, so you shouldn't. Don't worry about saying sorry. That should have happened a long time ago. Marco. Well, for the next 2 weeks, Marco Polo. And warmer, colder. I mean, it was horrible. God is not about playing a game of Marco Polo with you. Ephesians 5, verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. we can understand, we can pursue, we can discover God's will. Sometimes God reveals bite-sized portions of His will to us, because if He told us the whole plan and the whole story, it would be more than we could handle. If He gave us the whole plan all at once, it would be too big a pill to swallow. So He takes us a step at a time, and He encourages us with news. What we get when He said, two of your siblings, Emma, are perfect matches for bone marrow. So He gives us that to hold on to. See, God reveals a little bit at a time instead of the whole big picture, because He knows that most of us, some of us, would give up and say, oh, I can't do this anymore. Another reason He doesn't reveal everything all at once is if He told you what was going to happen for the next 10 or 15 years, you'd never have to pray again for the next 10 or 15 years. If you know it all, you wouldn't have to go to Him and ask Him what's next, because you'd know it all. So God wants us to continue to trust in Him and to seek after Him. God will not tell other people what you are supposed to do in your life without telling you first. Okay. There's a lot of us that are lazy, and we want people to tell us what. And so there's people that pursue and travel and go to different churches and places and different prophetic things because they want someone else to tell them what it is they're supposed to do with their life. We need to seek after God ourselves to experience the fullness of the life in His Spirit. We need to pursue God ourselves. Now, we like everybody else doing things for us, but God wants us to draw close to Him ourselves. Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says, in the past, God spoke to the forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. God wants to speak to us. And He may give people insight into what is going on in our lives, but I've discovered that when people have insight and try to speak into my life, it's either to convict me for what I've been trying to ignore God saying to me, or to confirm what God has been saying. It's never to convince. If somebody comes at you and tries to convince you of something that you have no idea about, just say, thanks for your concern. I'll get back to you. Because God will speak to you, and he'll encourage you and speak to your heart before He'll speak to everybody else. God's power will not be restricted by your circumstances or by chance. His power is not restricted by your circumstances. What if Joseph had allowed his life to be restricted and based his decisions on his circumstances? His brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. He finally got a job. He was falsely accused. He was thrown in prison and forgotten and rotting there in prison. What if he'd based his life on the circumstances he found himself in? God's power is not restricted to circumstances. Next, God will answer prayer. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Book of James says, if anyone's sick among you, get the elders together, anoint with oil, lay on hands and pray, and the sick will recover. So God answers prayer. God keeps His promises. God will keep His promises. 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land. God keeps His promises. God will always be with us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Hebrews chapter 11 is an amazing chapter. We look through it, all these heroes of the faith. It's this amazing chapter of all these people that went through difficult situations, and they're called heroes of the faith. The only way that they became heroes of the faith is that they had to enter into some battles and do some fighting to be called a hero of the faith. If they sat at home with the remote in one hand and a Diet Coke in the other watching something on TV, they never would have been heroes of the faith. They became heroes of the faith because they stood strong in the face of battle And they trusted in God, and they walked in faith towards what God... Remember last week I talked about Paul saying, this one thing. Heroes of the faith go through some battles. And I see my precious little Emma. And for me, she's a hero of the faith. She's standing strong in the face of this battle. And the battle, as tough as it is making us stronger as a family. James says, count it all joy when you go through tough times. And it's pretty hard to be joyful. But I know that we're going to persevere. And this perseverance is working in our hearts. It's providing character. Characters bring about hope, and the hope that we have in God will never disappoint. God will fulfill His plan. God will fulfill His plan. I got to move quickly because I want to get to prayer time. God will say yes. I mean, He wants to give us the desire of our heart. Some of you are here and you think, well, God, I must always say no. I just think God is a person who loves saying no and taking all the fun out of life. No, God is a person that wants to give us the desire of our heart. God longs to say yes to us. You may be tired. God wants to strengthen you. You may be sad, and God wants to fill you with joy unspeakable that's full of glory. You may be shy, and God wants to fill you with a shout of praise. You may feel embarrassed and shame, but God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You may think you don't have a prayer life, and God wants to teach you how to walk with Him and talk with Him. You may not know, you say, I'm not good at reading God's Word, but God wants to give you a hunger for His Word. You may be feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances, but God wants to give you peace in your heart. You may be feeling the effect of a physical ailment, and God wants to bring healing to your life. So Jesus is here. Anything can happen. Jesus is here. Anything can happen. I was, when we were in with Emma, I went up to the fourth floor at Sick Children's Hospital because the Alonzo Garcias were there and Dario, some of you know, plays soccer, and they had a little baby last Sunday morning, Sophia. I forget the middle name, Alonzo Garcia or Alonzo, I mean, or vice, I didn't write it in my notes, I should have. Because, and their little baby at 2 days old had surgery on her intestines to repair something that wasn't growing right. So I was able to go in and see this family and pray with them, and that God would continue to heal this beautiful little baby girl. And I don't see Sandra and Ken this morning in this service, but they've got their daughter, Rashawn, has been in intensive care battling sickle cell, and she needs a touch from the Lord. And my friend Richard Saunders, I don't see him in this service now, he's usually here. His little boy needs a touch from the Lord. So when I talk about Emma, I'm not making it an exclusive prayer for our church. There's lots of people in our church that need a touch. God challenged my heart a few years ago, and I believe it was prophetically. There's a scripture that says the name of Jesus is above every other name. And I always, for years, had thought, oh yeah, he's against Osama bin Laden, he's against all these Hitler and all these infamous leaders. I won't take time, I won't waste time to name them all, but so Jesus' name is above all those. But I believe the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart that when they say that Jesus' name is above every other name, it's not just the name of individuals. Jesus' name is above the name of the disease that's called sickle cell anemia. The name of Jesus is above the name leukemia, AML. So what is the need in your life? Stand to your feet with me. Stand up. You think of that need that you have. the Jesus name. He's the name above all names. Worthy of all praise.
As you just keep coming at this time, I'm going to continue anointing with oil. The Spirit of the living God is here. Holy Spirit, we just invite you now to rest on your people. God, as we come before you today with so many needs, so many hurts, God, we're calling on healing today. God, whatever that thing is that is destroying physically in our bodies, that sickness, that disease, we come against it in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. We come against sickness. We come against a disease. We come against the enemy right now that would try to throw this on our bodies and destroy us. But the name above all names comes to bring life, comes to bring healing, comes to bring miracles, comes to bring supernatural power in our hopes, in our lives, in our homes. God, you see the needs, all that are represented across this room, all here today. And maybe it's for those who are here physically, but maybe we're standing in the gap for someone else in our family, in our home. God, we're coming today. We're believing in the miracle-working power of your Holy Spirit. We are laying ourselves before you and ask that, God, you would move mountains today. You would move into the darkest places of our lives and you'd bring healing, Lord, physical healing, Lord. We pray against that sickness. We pray against that disease. And God, we ask you to do what only you can do today. And so whatever it is, would you just begin to declare the healing over yourself right now? Or the healing over your loved one right now. Whatever it is, begin to declare it right now. Jesus, we just believe for wholeness. We believe that you would restore our bodies back to their original intent, back to their design, the way you've designed us to be, to function at optimal speed, Lord. And so that's physical healing, Lord. But we know that there are other needs that are coming today, whether it's in emotions. And we think of even Pastor Rick Warren, who's lost a son to mental disease. And God, we know that there are issues. There are those today that are maybe not a physical, but are an emotional. Maybe there's a mental disease they're going through. In Jesus' name, would you break through the darkness? Would you bring healing to our minds? Bring healing to the bodies, Lord. Lord, bring healing in our relationships. And some of the issues we're struggling through are in finances. God, we lay those before you. Bring your wholeness. Bring your life today as we are strengthened in you. All across this place, let's just continue to believe for him. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand on the person beside you and begin to pray through that situation. Begin to allow the Holy Spirit to use you to bring that miracle-working power through your brother and sister in Christ. And let's watch what God will do even now in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, we call upon you right now. We ask that your power would flow through us. God, it boggles our mind that you would use us, but we're thankful. And God, we call upon you right now that, God, you would move in this place, that you would work your power in our bodies, in our minds, in our relationships, in each and every situation. God, we know that you're the God who can do it, and so we call on you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor. The victory is yours. We give you a shout of praise in this place. Come on, church, give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We receive it right now. We walk in the victory. We walk in the victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We hope that you've enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like more information, please visit us online at krt.org. Thank you, and God bless.